We at Daleville Christian Church believe that there is blessing if you will know what you believe. And there are evidences, there's proof of that in the message today as we look to people who know what they believe. Our affirmation of faith, which we do each time we get together, because we claim what we believe and state it as a statement of our faith, an affirmation of faith. This one from 1 Peter, the first chapter. We were redeemed from the empty way of life, handed down from our ancestors. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Through him we believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so our faith and hope are in God. God's word today is from the sixth chapter of John's Gospel book, verses 61 through 69. And here, Jesus is involved in a bit of a controversy and is explaining some things that he said. So verse 60 actually says, on hearing it, many of the disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Verse 61, aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe." For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Last week, the 15th anniversary of 9/11, I began the message talking about 9/11. 15 years ago, right after 9/11, there was talk at the time of people coming to church, returning to church, lots of people coming to worship. I even remember an article years later saying the American churches dropped the ball after 9/11. I don't think so. I believe that some people wanted answers at the time. And as we have seen in the last 15 years, there still isn't one answer to terrorism. There isn't one answer except perhaps for God. What did Jesus say? The evil one comes to kill and destroy. And Proverbs reminds us, Proverbs 27:20, death and destruction are never satisfied. Death and destruction are never satisfied, so when will the terrorists stop? Never. The terrorists will never stop. Only when the terrorists are stopped by someone will they stop their death and destruction. There is one alternative. If the hearts of the terrorists would be changed, the terrorism would stop. Jesus said, it was out of the hearts of men that evil deeds came. If the hearts of the terrorists would be changed, then yes, the terrorists would stop their death and destruction. Is it possible? Friends, you know that with God all things are possible. And the Bible says that nothing is impossible with God. And at that point in the message last week, I stopped talking about the topic. It seemed for this week I should finish the story, or I should let others finish that story. Muslims who have turned to Jesus Christ, they should tell the rest of the story. Let the Muslims who turn to Jesus finish that story. So let me say right off the bat that this message is not anti-Muslim. This message is pro-Muslim. Jesus. If someone sees this message as anti-Muslim, I believe it is on them, not me. But this message is pro-Jesus, but I intend for former Muslims who are now Christians, I intend to let them speak to them. First of all, let me give you some basics about the religion of Islam. Islam is the religion, and Muslim is the name for the followers of Islam. If we put the religion of Islam on a timeline, Islam came after Christianity. Islam came after Jesus and the apostles' time on the earth. Islam came about 700 years after Jesus and the apostles. Islam is really a very simple religion. Its simplicity is sometimes seen as the reason Islam is so attractive to many. There are what we call the five pillars of Islam. There are only five points to being a good Muslim. Only five parts to being a good Muslim. First of all is the confession of faith, which acknowledges Muhammad as the prophet of God. And I would point out at this, step number one is why Christians and Muslims cannot worship the same God. For Muslims, Muhammad is the prophet of God. Jesus said he was God. So if there is any question, Muslims will make decisions based on Muhammad, not Jesus. Christians will look to Jesus first. The road to understanding God for these two faiths goes in two different directions. You cannot go both ways. So for Muslims to be Muslim, the first step or pillar is the statement of faith. Second is prayer. There are five appointed times for prayer each day. Praying at each of those times makes you a good Muslim. Third is giving to the needy. There are no guidelines as to what or how much giving is to be done. Fourth is fasting. Fasting is to be done during the month of Ramadan. The fast occurs during daylight hours only. Let me say that again. The fast occurs during daylight hours only every day for a month. The fasting commemorates the revelation of the Quran to Muhammad, the prophet of God. Finally, there's a pilgrimage to Mecca, the city of the Prophet Muhammad, and the first mosque or place of worship and prayer. One need only make the pilgrimage once in your lifetime, and that is it. That's how you become a good Muslim. It's fairly simple, is it not? Affirmation of faith, prayer, giving to the poor, fasting, and a visit to Mecca. That is all you have to do to be a good Muslim, and there is no more that you can do to be a good Muslim. That is why many say that Islam is a peaceful religion, because at its most basic points, it is simple. That being said, notice anything missing in the list. As we Christians focus on the Bible and expect every Christian to read the Bible, Islam does not expect followers to read the Quran. The Quran is the book of revelations of God to God's prophet Muhammad. I even understand that for some Muslims, the Quran is only to be read in Arabic and no other language is acceptable. Therefore, the interpretation of the Quran is left to leaders of the faith, and there are particular schools of interpretation. There are three branches of Islam, and that causes rifts. I read in the news yesterday that there was a bombing, I believe, in India, maybe it was Pakistan, where one group of Muslims bombed another group of Muslims. If you interpret the Quran to use violence, there isn't any authority to say any differently. Since 9/11, we in the United States have used the word Islamist with a T on the end to refer to the more violent interpreters of Islam. There is some opposition to Islamists from Muslims themselves. This last summer, a suburban Chicago Muslim group hopes two giant billboards hanging over busy Chicago highways will help to fight terrorism while also combating Islamophobia. I understand this advertising campaign will be nationwide in the United States. The present billboards read, "Muslims to Muslims, see something, save innocent lives." "We're trying to tell average Americans this is who we are. We do not condone terrorism," said Talat Rashid. And if I may boldly quote another billboard that went up in Phoenix, Arizona, and you might take offense at this, but this is what the billboard says: "Hey ISIS, you suck. Hashtag actual Muslims." But we Americans still have trouble noticing the differences between the peaceful Muslims and the Islamists. One community put it this way: "It's hard for people like me, and probably most of you tonight, to draw the line between innocent Muslims and radical Muslims, since they all claim to serve the same God, and they all claim to follow the same book." Yes, that is a problem, and it's making it hard to help hurting people. I think I read there are more refugees in the world today than any time since World War II. Which then had seen the greatest number of refugees. And some say the refugee problem is a challenge to the American church, not just to the United States of American government. But let me quote a statistic to you that I used to teach. It was just as much a surprise to people before 9/11 as it is today. I cannot say the statistic is still true today, but I have other statistics I'll be sharing. If you see an Arab American, if we can allow ourselves to profile a little with our Midwestern eyes, if you see an Arab American, the chances are greater that that person is already a Christian. In 1990, if you saw a Middle Eastern person, chances were greater that they were Christian. Today's statistic, Dudley Woodbury, Fulbright scholar on Islam, estimates that 20,000 Muslims in the U.S. become Christians every year. I'll say that again. 20,000 Muslims in the U.S. become Christians every year. And I'm not here to argue about what you think you see. I want to allow former Muslims to speak today in this message. What draws Muslim people raised within Islam? What draws them to Christianity? Mr. Woodbury published results of interviews with 750 former Muslims. And here are some of the top five reasons that Muslims are drawn to the Christian faith. The lifestyle of Christians. Former Muslims cited the love that Christians exhibited in their relationship with non-Christians and their treatment of women as equals. One of the top five reasons for Muslims to consider the Christian faith and be drawn to it is the lifestyle of Christians, the love that Christians exhibit in their relationship with non-Christians. Here's another reason: the power of God in answered prayer and healings. This is what former Muslims say drew them to Jesus and Christianity. The power of God in answered prayers and healings. You might be interested to know where some of these Christians, formerly Muslims, came from. A large group are of the Arab Muslim background. Another large group from Iran, Iranian Muslims. And the numbers change every year, of course, because 20,000 Muslims in the U.S. become Christians every year. Other reasons for becoming a Christian for former Muslims: dissatisfaction with the type of Islam they had experienced. And another one: biblical teachings about the love of God and the spiritual truth in the Bible. These are reasons Muslims are turning to the Christian faith. Let's hear from former Muslims themselves. Former Muslim Nabil Qureshi explains how his search for the truth about Jesus in Scripture led to his conversion. Said, "I met a young Christian named David, and we quickly became firm friends due to our common morals and devotion. The time came when I challenged him on the reliability of the Bible, and I had finally met someone who was equipped to defend the faith. While discussing the Bible and the Quran, I also challenged David on the divine authority of Jesus. He responded to my points, but he also challenged me to contrast my arguments with a case for the authority of Muhammad. It was then I realized my standards for criticizing the Christian faith were different than the ones I used to consider the Islamic faith. And if I applied those criticisms equally, if I applied them consistently, I found the foundations of Islam crumbled. By contrast, the case for Jesus' death, deity, and resurrection was very strong, built on early records that were most coherently explained by Christians. It was through this contrast that matters became clear. By the way, I wanted to mention to you all that Miss USA, Rima Fakhy, made headlines in 2010 when she became Miss USA, proclaimed to be the first Lebanon American, the first Arab American, and the first Muslim to win the Miss USA title. This year, 6 years later, in April 2016, Rima Fakhy converted to Christianity. She did that northeast of Beirut in her ancestral home in the country of Lebanon, and she was married a month later in a Christian wedding ceremony in the very same church. But one internet news line stated, Fakhy is nowhere to be seen on the networks these days. The Washington Post, another former Fakhy devotee, declined to mention her conversion. The media is quiet on her profession of Christianity, all the while they had been sure to mention she was the first Muslim to win the Miss USA title. Let's hear more about this move from Islam to Christianity from Maud Salim. I am no more than an ordinary man who's been spending life as if knowing nothing. I was born in a wealthy Muslim family in Pakistan. When I was a few months old, I was carried to Saudi Arabia by my father. When I was about six, my mom passed away. As I grew older, I had so many questions, like almost everyone experiences at some point in life. Why am I here? Where did I come from? Is there really a God? And if so, where is he? Why doesn't he talk? I've been studying the Quran since the age of 12. Jesus Christ was the only personality that really touched me more than any others. I found out that Christians believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I very much wondered why they believed that. I started searching for Jesus Christ more and more. I had a Christian friend who used to study with me. I asked him one day if I could have his Bible. He was surprised and said, "Sorry, you cannot have it." I assured him no one would ever know. It will remain between me and you. But my father came to know that I read the Bible. It was in our home. He was very angry, and he knew I only had one Christian friend, so he took me with my uncle to this friend's home and warned them, saying, "If you do this again and try to preach Christianity to a Muslim child, you'll have to suffer a lot, and you know it. We will complain about it to the Islamic police, and you could be exiled from this country forever." I was a bit worried. I shouldn't have done this to my friend's family. My hunger to know about Jesus Christ grew more and more. I did not have a Bible with me anymore. One day I was passing with a friend through shops and I came to an internet shop. I was on the net on yahoo.com and there came a thought in my mind. Type, "Who is Jesus?" I did. And I got lots of websites. I was amazed that I could search about Jesus Christ there. A website provided very nice information about who Jesus is, prophecies about him in the Old Testament, how amazingly they are fulfilled in the New Testament. I was very much amazed. I kept coming to this website often. One day I thought of giving Jesus a try, and so I said the salvation prayer on their website. Finally, Nabil Qureshi, Pakistani-American, I mentioned before, has written a book entitled Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. He says this in an interview when he was asked, "Do you ever get tired of being called the guy who converted from Islam to Christianity? I mean, do you ever feel like you've been typecast as a believer?" And Nabil Qureshi said, "Yes, thanks for asking. After 9 years of being a follower of Jesus, you're the first who has asked me that question. Even the term former Muslim makes me feel I'm forever bound by the life I left. We don't identify other Christians as former adulterers or former robbers. I've been made a new creation in Christ. I strive every day to cast off the old self and put on the new, reflecting the fact that I have been born again from above. I would be thrilled if I never had to talk about Islam again, focusing instead on the awe-inspiring power of God's incarnation and resurrection. Friends, can the hearts of the terrorists be changed? Yes. Yes, they can be. You and I serve the Lord Jesus, who can and has reached the hearts of those foreign to him, but now are fellow citizens in the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.